So, like, Rob came up with this idea about capturing local events and some of the things that are going on in our local area that are kind of examples of people coming together and forming communities around ideas. So it feels like kind of like a new direction for the podcast and something that we might try. And it's very similar to the format, if anyone ever listened to the Circularity Camp podcast, it's kind of like that. But basically, like, you're going to hear a few conversations during this podcast, which are like either, you know, in the sort of studio setting where we record the podcast, or outside in a field, or you know, snippets of other conversations. And I've tried to sort of sequence them in a way so that they almost tell a story of a few of the kind of cool local things that are happening at the minute, which are around building communities. And that's kind of the central idea of this, is this building community around an idea or around a challenge or an event or something like that. Ben Lynch is doing some amazing things at building communities of people coming together through fitness in maybe kind of unusual settings to what people would normally associate with fitness. And then also the other kind of main story that threads through this podcast is the introduction of the 45 Degrees West team and their work and raising money for charities. So we're going to hand over and hope you enjoy it.
Calisthenics is obviously quite a subjective term, and it means very different things to very, very many different people, and there's different aspects to it. But initially it comes from the ancient Greek words kalos and thenos, which are strength and beauty. And essentially it's about using your body and your surroundings to either exercise, hold positions, or learn a skill set. So, for example, some of the exercises, the human flag, that's a really good one. So you don't need to go to a bar park to do that. You can just pull up to a lamppost and pop yourself up there if you wanted. There's like the muscle up, which is where people do a pull up but then end up at the top of the bar. There's L-sit, which is like where you hang from the bar and raise your feet up in front of you, like straight in front, so that your body's in an L shape, hence the name. And there's sort of like very many different dynamics to it as well. So Superman push-ups as well. So it's anything to do with your body weight, manipulation, control, within a space, essentially. It's like hardcore yoga, essentially. Sorry, Kimberly. I'm not discrediting yoga. Yoga's awesome.
It's just gone 12, so we're all at Shrubnell at the moment. We've got a couple of pull-up mates, which is a portable pull-up station that you can set up in your home. And they're actually based in Walton-on-Trent. So that's a good company to go and check out. They've got various bits of equipment that you can set up in your garden or at home to train calisthenics with. We've also got Shrubnell Bars, which is provided by Shrubnell and the council. I believe it was put together through a petition, actually, of local community members that wanted something free, something to train in this bodyweight style. So I'll be sharing some of the meetings that I've been sort of holding personally to push this forward. From there, we're going to go to Bluestone in Ashby at 4 o'clock, and I've got a contact there that's managed to sort us out the functional fitness suite, which has like a big rig, which has like pull-up bars and all sorts in there, which is going to be insane. So we've got that for 2 hours, and that's the only part of the day that really costs anything. It'll be £5 entry, so
so this is something that people think in the main, although there are gyms like Bluestone that have stuff. As you said, there's the bars at Shrubnell. There's stuff you could get at home yourself. But I know you've got a rig you've built at home that you use. So it is literally using that things that are around you and your own body weight to train.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And that's the beauty of it. You don't need like lots of equipment. I mean, treadmills cost thousands of pounds. It's just all these sort of external bits of equipment that people are buying to get themselves fit, when actually to exercise, you just, like you said, you need your body weight and your surroundings, really. And there's loads of different ways to regress or progress movements to make them a lot more difficult. And balance as well. Balance plays a lot into it. It's mind muscle connection. So instead of if you were to view weightlifting, you're pushing or pulling a weight across a specific plane, whereas in like balance, like handstands and stuff, you're moving your center of gravity across in various different ways. which forces you to counterbalance using different muscles that you would just sat on a bench or doing like deadlifts and things like that.
Where did you find calisthenics? Or how did you find calisthenics?
Okay, so I think I secretly sort of knew about it because it's such a sort of obvious thing, body weight training. Everyone naturally does it anyway. It's more the sort of complexity element that when you start to train more, you get better at things and you can do more things with your body and put it in more sort of difficult positions and more explosive movements and that kind of thing. So I think for me, bodyweight training really started when I went over to China. I went over for a month to go and train with Rising Dragon School, and we learnt Kung Fu in the foothills of the Himalayas with some with some monks, just as you do.
Just Batman, just what you went for, Batman.
Exactly, you know. Met Ra's al Ghul, no I didn't. And yeah, it was just a really sort of authentic experience. So during that training, there was a lot of sort of like circuit training, that kind of things, like bunny hops, bear crawls, just like using, because it makes no sense to use weights in that kind of situation when you've got a group that big and you've got all these surroundings that are like different angles and declines and that kind of thing. Like, you've got everything that you need as long as you've got yourself. So that kind of just opened my eyes into it, and I was naturally trying things out that I didn't realise was classed as calisthenics. So, like, for example, L-sit into handstand. It's where you sort of sit on the floor, push yourself up onto your hands with your legs out in front of you, and then go up into a handstand and then back down again. And I was just naturally trying that because I thought, oh, that would be really cool to try. And just to sort of see if I could do it with all this training that was going on. And then I got home and I was training away in the gym, just counting reps and lifting weights and not seeing much like progress and just getting bored just because of the monotony of it more than anything. And I was on Instagram and I was scrolling through, and one of my friends, Andy, he posted a video of him doing some Superman push-ups, and I was like, whoa. So then I showed all the guys in the canteen at that time at work, and they were like, oh, I bet you can do that, go on, give it a go. So then I'm there in my steel toe-cap boots and my high-vis and everything, just trying this thing, nearly land on my face. And there was just something about it. It was just like, this is really difficult, but I can do it. And it's that whole notion of just like, I will get there eventually. And I think it was that, to be honest, that sort of like seeing someone do it and go like rise into that challenge, which is like a really sort of hard thing to do, because often on social media we're quite overwhelmed by seeing all these celebrities or even our friends just being like uber successful and owning houses and cars and all this sort of achievement based things. But when you see someone like physically doing something that you respect, I think is the thing, it's respect. You kind of put yourself in that position and go, well, if they can do it, they must have started somewhere, so surely if I can try and do it, then see where it leads, sort of thing. And that's just what opened my eyes to it, really. It was first the Superman push up and then it was like, right, okay, can I touch my toes in the air? And it just went from there, to be honest. Yeah.
So you come down to do some calisthenics?
Well, I've come down to watch the boys do some calisthenics. So recently, probably 6 months ago, started training and wanted to get into sort of this sort of thing, but didn't feel that I was perhaps strong enough yet. So started training in the gym, and this is where I'll get to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hope.
Yeah, yeah. But coming just down, having a look, seeing what's going on.
I spoke to Ben, actually. Ben let me know in the gym that these guys were down here.
Wicked. So what are your thoughts so far? Do you see yourself kind of getting into this and doing this?
I hope so, eventually. Yeah. These boys are strong, though, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's proper.
I know.
Proper.
Maybe. Yeah. I've got to keep training, though.
Yeah.
I still need more time in the gym, mate.
You know, I have, since probably 16, I was in the gym and doing the weight thing and grunting and you know, trying to do, you know, the idea was you put heavier stuff on and then you lift that, and then when you're used to that you put heavier stuff on and then you lift that, and there's quite a strong analogy, isn't there, to that consumer culture of that idea of actually you're never fully contented because there's probably always someone who's lifting heavier weights than you, And if you're, if the reason that you train is to get heavier weight, mm-hmm. or the nicer car, or the nicer house, or you know what I mean,
it's the same sort of idea.
Yeah, whereas, I think what I saw from you doing the calisthenics, but then also the other guys doing it as well, mm-hmm. is that it wasn't like that.
No.
There was nothing like that. There was even, you know, everyone was cheering each other on. Mm-hmm. Everyone was like just dead cool. If something didn't quite work out, it's like, oh, you'll get it, it'll be all right, we'll figure that out and we'll do it together, you know. And I think what I'm trying to say is there was no competition.
It's a very sort of fine line, to be fair, because I think what you're potentially hinting at there is like ego practice. And it can be quite difficult, don't get me wrong, when you've got someone that like just tips up and blows you away and then just walks off and it's like what have you come to prove, like, do you know what I mean? And sometimes that happens, but generally speaking of the community, we're like as you've said, we're all very supportive and we all want to work towards our next goal but then see each other achieve theirs. And it's in some instances people have said like that we're their best friends now, or even more so than their friends back home, which is like quite a scary concept.
I mean, they travel, don't they?
Yeah,
they come from. There's some guy from Glasgow, from London, from
Southampton,
Liverpool.
Like, it's just crazy because
and they drove all the way to Burton.
Yeah,
to meet,
just come and train. Yeah, come meet, train, share ideas, try new stuff out, and help each other. And it's just, it's a really sort of authentic practice, because like with the ego thing, it's like it would be really easy for someone to just sort of stand back and watch.
Yeah.
But there's, as you probably experienced, and I have got a video of you doing some actually. you just get pulled into it, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's there, and it's like it's playing. It's essentially taking yourself back to not caring about what other people think about how you're moving across a space, or like you're not thinking about how you look at that point in time, like whether you're overweight or what. You're just giving something a go and trying it out. And I think that's the thing that separates it for me, personally. It's what you can do with your surroundings and the people around you sort of like supporting you and motivating you more than anything. Whereas the gym sort of mindset is very sort of, obviously everyone trains for different reasons, so I'm not speaking on behalf of everyone here, but I as a young man growing up, there was always the sort of ideal of you won't get X if you don't have Y. So for example, you won't get a girlfriend if you don't have a six pack. And that's kind of that kind of pressure is quite difficult to take, because you've got so many different sources of information for that kind of thing. You've got people telling you to like mix Coke and coffee and use that as a pre-workout. You've got just literally all sorts, and there's loads of sort of information, misinformation, in terms of training and body positivity. And that is a massive thing for me personally. Like, I don't train to get a six pack, I train to get a skill. And it's because of the consistency and the willpower behind that that I've managed to sort of obtain a relatively decent physique and managed to maintain that.
But the physique wasn't the reason why you were doing it.
No,
it was
not at all.
It's about a training, physical training and mental agility.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And skilling up and constant improvement.
Definitely.
Without a goal in mind, just constant improvement. Yeah. And I think that's the key.
Yeah.
Because with training, it's quite a systematic process. So you do, as you say, you're so many reps with that weight. You do a 45-minute thing on one body part, and then the next day it's very formulaic and very. The thing that I noticed, and I only did a few, you know, gentle pull-ups and
a couple of dips,
and you tried a few things out. But I'm strong in the gym, and I wasn't on the bars.
It's very humbling.
You know, it's
very humbling, and that dissolves the ego entirely, absolutely, because you might be able to bench press or deadlift or squat X amount, but if you can't do a muscle up, it's one of the most aggravating things in the world. Do you know what I mean? But there are naturally like prerequisites for the training as well. So like for certain skills, you have to be able to do X amount of, so for example, the muscle up, as I've just mentioned, you have to realistically be able to do 10 pull-ups consecutively. And like explosive as well. And that's like, there's different variations of strength within calisthenics. There's like static holds, which is where you put your body in a certain position that's very difficult, and you have to hold it for as long as you can, and that's really demanding. You don't realize like how demanding it is until you're in that position, because you're fighting gravity essentially. You're trying to like, and it's aesthetic, but it's not aesthetic in the respect of look how shredded I am. It's aesthetic in the respect of look at this, watch this skill, or like look how good this form is. And even like you can get movements like back lever and front lever and human flag and things like that, and not have the right form for them, but you can achieve the movement. So it's sort of, there's gradients to skill sets, and the elite sort of calisthenics guys are just absolutely insane. They've got full sort of spectrum of strength in terms of like explosive power, freestyle, static holds, all that sort of stuff. And it's only through consistency and willpower that they've done that. And with the sort of like humbling aspect that I've mentioned, it puts you in a position where you realise how human you are. But then it sort of tests you, because you could try something once and walk away from it. I'm sure that everyone has picked up a guitar and expected to play like Hendrix. Or do you know what I mean? It's that kind of thing. You just sort of watch these videos online and you see all these people do these amazing things and you're like, oh, right, okay, I'm going to get that today. And you go out there and you try it and you just fall and fall and hurt yourself. And it's about getting back up. And that is so true of just life. And I think that is probably one of the things that you experienced from everyone that was there, that it just sort of, that recognition, not sympathy, but empathy, in terms of, right, okay, you haven't got that yet. This is what you could do to get that. And I'll stay with you now and watch you succeed. Which is quite rare. It's quite rare.
So I saw you doing like a thing earlier where you were kind of crouched on the floor and holding your own body weight. How did you get into like learning how to do that, you know?
I do a lot of yoga as well as calisthenics and stuff, but I do it just to warm my wrist up, but mainly.
Yeah. Because we were talking about this earlier, like a lot of the warm-ups that you guys are doing look very similar to like just, you know, going straight into a training session, really, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
It's like
going. You adjust the warm-up to what level you're at. So it's no, you can warm up simple, but if you're going to start doing like muscle-ups and stuff like that, you want to be making sure you are properly warm.
Yeah.
And as you get stronger, you want to build the warm up with the level of what your workout's going to be.
Sure. Yeah. So how long have you been doing this?
Just over 12 months.
Right. Yeah. And what got you into it?
I used to do a lot of boxing.
Right.
I struggled getting fights because of my size and my weight, and just found things that people have been training for months and years to do, I've kind of picked up pretty quick.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It just got me hooked then, because I was like, oh, yeah, I'll be back doing muscle.
Yeah.
And about a month or two of trying, and now I'm repping muscle ups out.
Oh, great.
Handstands and handstand push ups, human flags, all within 12 months.
So amazing.
It's just like, it just took off.
And what's like, what keeps you coming? You know, what keeps you doing this calisthenics and meeting up with these guys? What's the kind of
the thing? Community, really.
Yeah.
And when you're in the gym, and I joined the bodybuilders gym, not to bodybuild, because it was local. And I went there and you've got massive blokes there wrecking out massive huge weights, and I felt a bit weird, but within 20 minutes there were people stopping and they were watching me and they were asking, oh, how'd you do that? I'd love to learn how to do that. And then it's got a great atmosphere. I mean, look at everyone.
Yeah, it's buzzing. It's absolutely buzzing, isn't it?
And this is down to just like a few people just putting the word out, oh, we're going to have a bit of a meet-up. You got like Danny from London. I think Paddy's coming down from Scotland.
Yeah.
I mean, I've only travelled. I'm quite local. I'm only about 20 miles. So
yeah.
It's just
amazing.
People just drawing together.
Yeah.
So how did you meet these other guys? So you had like Sherman, right?
Yeah.
And how did you meet him and where did that come from?
It was, so I went down because like, I've been practicing calisthenics for quite a while, and I got approached by a group called Bar Tribes in Southampton through Instagram. They'd seen my videos and stuff, and that's kind of just how I've got about, really. And they said that I should go down and go and train with them. And that was just a really sort of wild thing for me, like someone actually wanted me to go to them and go and train and be part of a video and all of this sort of stuff. And I was just like, what? There's me just training in my garden, like doing the odd pull-up or whatever. And they're like, yeah, no, you'd be really good at this. So I went down and I was part of their Christmas special video, and that was start of December that was filmed. And then I think it was just before Christmas, I got tagged in something on Instagram by one of them, and they said that Ben and Sherman should meet up. This would be really cool. They'd just get on really well. So I was like, okay. And then I didn't follow it through. Sherman actually like messaged me from that, and he was like, okay, so when are we training? And I was just like, what? And I'd never been to Shopknot at this point in time for the bar park, because I didn't actually know it was there.
Right.
So Sherman found it. There's an app called Calisthenics Parks, and it's like Google Maps, but for bar parks.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. So like, if you stumble across any that aren't on there, you can submit them and take photos of what's there and sort of give it a description and submit. So he knew that from that.
Yeah, we wanted to get the community together, bring calisthenics to the UK. As we're just so behind from the rest of the world.
Really?
And absolutely. People in Eastern Europe, they're all gymnasts out there. People in the UK, they rely on equipment, they rely on commercial gyms, and we just wanted to bring that to the people.
So we were talking about this, we're saying like my understanding of training is you go in a gym, you chuck some weights about, and the weights get bigger as you get better at it, and you grunt a bit louder. And that's like
that's pretty much training.
That is my very limited understanding of what you do to get fit, and you go running a bit. You're saying is that there's a different world that we've not yet explored.
I don't think you're alone in that. I think that there's a massive sort of preconception of fitness and strength and health. That's geared to us towards media, like through media, both in terms of like we really use social media to sort of boost our profiles, but then at the same time, if you're surrounded constantly with that six pack ab look and all these sort of like filtered pictures that show bodies at their best, and that's what you're meant to attain, without actually knowing how to go about it, and like there's ridiculous diets, people are getting into the gyms and lifting too much that the bodies can handle sometimes and really injuring themselves. So with the focus on mobility and stretching and everything you have to do to be able to do some of this stuff, it just gives you a more holistic approach to health.
So is this guy's Jordan Yeo? Is he one of the guys in this community?
Jordan
Yeo.
And Chaotic.
Macaulay.
Macaulay from here.
Yeah.
The guy Jordan Yeo is over in the Far East.
That
end of the world. Him on.
I don't know.
Sort of this sort of stuff where he's using himself to train.
Yeah.
He's on it a lot with his daughter, but he's a little bit of famous.
Okay.
So he's on Instagram and a few bits like that.
Yeah,
I've seen him on there. Started to follow a few people like Simon Panda who do more of that type training where it's the grunting and the lifting and stuff.
Yeah.
But this to me feels more like play.
That's exactly what it is.
Jordan from Malaysia.
Yes.
Jordan Yeo. Yes. Yeah. He's more bodybuilding type, physique model style. Same with Simeon Panda.
Yes.
We're trying to promote more of a lifestyle, and it's far more fulfilling than just lifting some weights.
Because that's boring.
Yeah, because to me, like,
that's nothing.
It's monotonous. If you go in and you're counting how many reps you're doing of a certain weight, and you're struggling to see progress because your diet's not working for you or whatever, then you're just going to fall out of love with it. At least if you come down here, try a movement out, something happens. Even if you don't get that movement, something happens, something clicks, and it makes you want to do it again and again and again until you get there. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's persistence.
And the other word that I've heard through doing little snapshots today, there's three guys that have all said the word community.
Exactly,
and
man.
Without prompting, like it's the community. This is why I come.
Yeah.
You know, and it's about fitness. It's about strength, and it's about mobility. It's about all that stuff, but it's also about getting together with the lads and having a rattle or
mutual support, man.
Yeah,
mutual support. I mean, like you can look around today and just see one person doing something and you'll see at least three other people watching them and cheering them on. And that's just, like, you don't get that anywhere else.
And
like,
Rob, you said, Rob, earlier that you saw, like, a little kid over there just, like, having a go, just trying to do one of the movements. And I just thought, that's just, that's it. That's
exactly,
so that's learning. That is proper learning. You're watching, you're trying to figure it out, you know.
You learn through seeing and doing and trying, and failing.
A lot of this stuff with the bars is the stuff we used to do as kids, just playing around in the park, that you could do when you were flexible and you were thinner and younger.
health needs to be maintained, and if you're not doing that, then you won't be as flexible, you won't be as strong or as mobile or agile. So that's why we're here, to get that and to keep that and to keep that mode of play.
He was like, right, when are you free then? And obviously it was Christmas, so I had quite a lot of free time at that point in time. And it was the 27th of December, so I'd said that he was coming up. And, like, it was just something in me said that this is a big deal.
Mm.
And I think it was the fact that someone was travelling to me.
Yeah.
And to Burton as well. Like, I just, it was very, very strange. So I created an event. I was like, right, because I'd, by this point, I'd sort of got my name around the gym, by just training there and people seeing me and coming along and sort of training alongside me. So I put a Facebook event up and I was like, right, Sherman's coming up, this would be really cool. And then I got in touch with Paul Anger.
Yeah.
And because he's just a phenomenal person. He does, like, DJing, hairdressing, that's how I know him, and photography. So
I've known Ben since he was, mate, 4 years old.
Yeah.
So I know his kind of life and his stories and whatever. And because he did these martial arts training, and it all kind of started off there. And then he just, I don't know how he got into calisthenics, actually. Basically, I said, well, mate, I'll come down and I'll take some photos for you and just help you promote this. Because it was just the adrenaline and the enthusiasm behind it was really inspiring. And Ben, he's like that. You know what I mean? He's got so much passion. And I just thought, I want to be a part of this for him. You know what I mean? If I can help any way, which way, just try and,
So Sherman came up to me. We did the thing. And I think there was about six or seven of us. And it was just really cool. It was just like, I've never experienced anything like that before. Like, the Bar Tribes thing was very sort of similar, but when Sherman came up, it was a bit of a game changer for me, because I was like, this could actually happen quite frequently, because obviously we've got the facilities, we don't need to charge anything, it's relatively easy to get to for people. That kind of like struck with me. And then from there, Sherman invited us to Milton Keynes. So I was like, right, okay, this is cool, we're going to Milton Keynes, so I'm travelling again for calisthenics. This is really, really fun. And there's a guy called Danny Power Calisthenics on Instagram, and I've been following him for ages, and I was like, Sherman, we've got to get Danny on it. Like, he's been saying that he's going to come up, like, through messages and stuff, and we've got to get him on it. And then from there, Danny messaged several other people, Sherman messaged other people, some people contacted me, and that was the start of it. That was United Calisthenics Group. It just blew up. Sherman managed, like, a stellar job of hiring out a parkour hall. It was Paramount Parkour, which was the UK's first parkour gym.
Oh, wow, right.
Yeah. So it was like, wow, this is, like, monumental. Like, we're getting all these people together, it's the UK's first parkour gym, and we just had a really, really, really good time. And I'd sort of come up with a bit of a formula, really, and I didn't know what it was at the time. It was just really sort of authentic and going with the flow and see what happens. So for the first Burton meet, we met at Burton, trained, then we went to Nando's. Other chicken shops are available. And and at Nando's, we just spoke, we just talked and got to know each other, because obviously I just know this guy from Instagram, and we've just had a wicked training session. So who are you? Tell me all about you. How long have you been training for? Because you're insane. And then he got to know Paul, like, they really get on well now. And it was just really sort of authentic and genuine, and there was no agenda, there was no ego, as you said. There wasn't anything like, what am I going to get out of this? Not at all. It was just people getting to know each other that in the street would walk past each other without this kind of connection. And then from there we took to the streets of Burton, and Paul was like, right, we're going to do some guerrilla photography. So there's me hanging off like taxis only signs, doing the human flag, and like us hanging upside down of stuff while buses drove past and people are looking up like, what the hell are you doing? Get down from there. And he, like, Paul loved it. He absolutely loved it. And I could tell that he was in his element. So yeah, we Sherman decided to translate that same structure to the Milton Keynes meet, and the Nando's was just insane. Mm-hmm. Because we had people like Calisthenics Basingstoke, Wodge, and Danny Power Calisthenics. They're like the business guys of the group. Like,
yeah
man, they're just on it. They're like, They just know what to do in terms of clients and stuff like that, and PTing and that, which is fantastic because the group needs direction in that sense.
Yeah.
So they were at either end of the table, and it was like being in an Austin Powers villain headquarters. It was nuts. They were just like back and forth to one another, and like, right, okay, this is really cool. Let's do this again. Right, have we got a name? And it was just like, whoa,
yeah,
what's
actually
happening?
Something happened.
Yeah, and it was like, it was a massive meeting. Mm. And we were all sort of throwing ideas about, and like, I think whenever anyone got too sort of like caught up on getting revenue from it,
yeah,
it was instantly slapped down.
Oh, great,
it was instantly slapped down. And that's kind of staying, like, even in conversations now that we're having, it's just more.
There's no
community.
Agenda to monetize it. It's just about
just money. Just community and yeah. Money's not in the way at all. Because obviously we've all got our own jobs. We've all got like PT businesses potentially, and we're all sort of contributing to our own pocket in that way. So to then translate that over into this big project where the only reason people are actually getting involved is because it's accessible.
Yeah,
it would just be detrimental entirely. So we're kind of trying to keep that community agenda, and just push the growth of it, and just try and spread the word and get more and more people involved.
Mm.
So yeah, that's kind of where we're kind of at up to the most recent meetup.
Yeah, and how long has this been building for? Because it all feels like it's come together really quick.
It's come together phenomenally quick. So as I said, me and Sherman met at like the end of December last year.
Yeah.
The first sort of Paramount Parkour meetup was the start of February.
Mm.
And then here we are. And it's just amazing. Absolutely.
So we're talking about within 4 months, aren't we, really?
4 months, and this whole thing's just blown up.
Yeah.
Absolutely blown up.
How'd you get into this then?
So I was at the gym. I saw some guy monkeying about, doing human flags and some cool weighted gymnastics, and always wondered how he got into getting to the level where he can have that much strength. So I saw him in the locker room, as every great training session starts, chatting to a guy half naked. But yeah, I asked him how he can progress to doing that, and asked if I was free on the Sunday, popped down to his first meet. So I thought I'd risk it, and came down and learned some good stuff. Met Charlie. They taught me a scapular rotation, so if I could get more out of my shoulders, and I think what I learned, did a bit of the human flag the first day, and then realised that I wasn't as fit as I thought I was. But then it was kind of came quite organic, really. So started chatting with Charlie and Ben on a like bi-daily basis, learning from them, watching YouTube videos, brought a book, started listening to podcasts, and just kind of finding my own route through it, opposed to kind of following everyone's footsteps.
Yeah.
Thought, well, if I learn from the same people, I'm going to learn kind of their weaknesses and their strengths. But if I spread my search, pretty much what he's doing with this with these meetups, if I can meet all these different people and find different ideas that I've never tried before or different variations just to progress me to the next level.
Yeah,
loving it.
Nice.
And I wanted to talk to you about the other element that I saw on the day, which may have helped the blowing up of it, actually, is the capturing of the event, either, as you said, with Paul Angel with his photography, or there were loads of guys with the kind of mobile camera things. There was
like tripods.
But like the handheld ones that have got dollies on and all that sort of stuff. and it's as much about the storytelling mm-hmm. and the narrative mm-hmm. of the session growing as well. But there was something that got me about it that I've not got my head around this aspect of social media, I don't think, but okay. it's that thing of like there's a follow up to the story, which yeah. then it builds into the next chapter.
Of course, yeah.
So you have kind of the build up to the event, mm-hmm. you have the capture of the event, you know, done, and then you have this kind of like, here is the event, you know, filmed and kind of put together, and
yeah.
here's some of the things that happened, and now here's the next one, you know, and it's yeah. a very logical storytelling process.
Oh, it's just completely fluid, and the reason for that is because whilst we're training, in between, like if we're having a rest or whatever, most of us have got a phone in our hands, but it's not we're checking on anything or whatever, it's like, okay, who's doing what now, and let's see if we can capture it, and there isn't an element of like, oh, here's my phone, you film me for a bit. At all. Mm. It's just, it's by
very
chance.
Organic. It's yeah, yeah, that's what I got. It was
it's
like,
completely by chance.
There was no, right, we're now going to screen this bit, so let's do a take. You know, there was nothing
no.
like that. It
no,
was just, let's capture moments that happen as they happen. I think
exactly.
that's what I'm trying to say,
yeah.
is that there was nothing stage about it. There was nothing, you know, whereas from that perspective where I've ever done video, which is, right, we're going to do a little music thing, so everyone sits there and we arrange how it looks, and we arrange where the mic's going, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's nothing like that. It's just, right, here's a moment, and it's real, and it's authentic, as you say, and
yeah.
we're capturing it.
Mm.
That's fascinating, and I don't think there's enough of that, but it also explains why YouTubers are so popular, and, you know, the production quality of those things aren't that hot in general, you know?
No, yeah. You can I put together videos in, like, minutes.
Yeah.
If there's, like, obviously with social media, you've got to sort of keep up your posting and that kind of thing to keep the interest going, especially for the events.
Yeah, yeah.
So if there's, like, certain things that someone's captured that I haven't quite uploaded yet or something, I'll make a video out of that and then throw it up and be like, yo, this person's doing this, and
yeah.
that's how we do it most of the time. We've got the centralized page, but then if, for example, Ashley was doing like a ridiculous handstand push-up where he went like to his waist essentially on the bar and then back up,
yeah,
and like I was just so furious absolutely furious with him because it was just insane. But I was so glad that I was there.
Yeah.
I was there to see it and there to film it, and it's just like it's that kind of motivation. It's a really weird motivation, and I think that's how the videos work. It's very motivating material, and yeah, especially because, like you said, the narrative, but then we've got our own individual narratives as well.
Yeah.
So the people, for example, there's someone that's from America, and her like Instagram is Ordinary Saying, and she follows all of us.
Right.
And she's like talking to all of us individually at the same time. And she's like, you guys are so cool, you get to meet up, and like, you'll have to come and meet us sometime. And it's just, it's crazy that like this one sort of community can split off into loads of different areas, loads of different groups. Everyone's doing like different individual things, and like and doing their own little communities, little pockets of things, and then it all comes together, and that's just like phenomenal. But in terms of the like video aspect of it, I think that's what draws people in, but then it also sells it as well. I guess like I hate to use the word sell, but like to obtain appeal,
yeah.
Because anyone can sort of like set up a tripod and do some stuff, but if you've got like people walking around and getting like loads of different angles of like the same person and all that sort of thing, and then you see like one guy doing this ridiculous thing, but then someone else straight after doing something completely different but equally as just crazy, it just, it makes you feel like it's like a true elite team of people. And we've all got like really varying skill sets. So as I was saying about the narrative, everyone's individual progress is being mapped at the same time. So for example, there was a moment in between Milton Keynes and Basingstoke where like me and Paragon from Leicester, we were talking. And he was like, oh man, I really want that 360. I really want that 360. And I was like, challenge accepted. So I'm there in my garden, like my little garden bar set up, and I'm spinning around, falling over, and I'm recording every take. And like, I put them all together so that you saw me face plant and you saw me get really frustrated at it and that kind of thing. I uploaded it and I was like, yes, I got it. So I managed to get this like Bar Pop 360. And then like the day after, he's like, right, I'm going to get this today. And he did it. And it's just that, it's that sort of like intermingling dialogue as well as narrative.
Mm.
Because if you've got all these different people, and if you just go and meet up and you go and train and then you go away and there's nothing in between, there's no follow up. There wouldn't be a point. There wouldn't be a point. It'd be like sort of, I don't know, like going to Comic-Con. That's all it'd be. It'd just be like, oh, go and dress up for a day, leave it for a few months, go and dress up for someone else next time. Whereas like with the community aspect of it, everyone follows each other, everyone supports each other, and people are genuinely impressed by one another.
And it's a very positive use of social media.
Oh, fantastic.
Use of technology to connect people and to connect ideas, which is the whole point of why everything should, you know, how social media should be.
Definitely.
You can use social media for good stuff and powerful stuff. Yeah.
I think there's always going to be, like, for example, when I trained in the gym, there's always going to be people that disagree or don't understand or have that negative sort of reaction, because like I was doing like some essentially handstand push-ups or something like that, and there was a couple behind me, and the woman turns to the man and she goes, oh wow, that guy's just done a handstand. And then the bloke turns around, and like I just knew that there was just this feeling. I just had this feeling. I was like, okay, what's going to come out of his mouth now? And my back's to them, so he doesn't know that I can hear him. And he turned around and goes, yeah, that'd be easy if you weighed 6 stone, fuck all.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, what? I'm here to train just as you are.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm doing exactly the same thing as you. I'm using my body to get stronger, to get better, faster, to feel good. And you're here ripping that beneath my feet just because, I don't know whether it's jealousy, I don't know whether it's like just something that he's struggling with, like, and internalized and then chose to externalize at that point in time. I don't know whether he felt threatened because I've been noticed by his partner. I don't know the reasons behind it, but at that point I was presented with a choice. I could either turn around and give him what's what, or I could just do it the calisthenics way. And I got off and I turned around and I looked directly at him and I just grinned. I was like and that's it, and that's all it takes sometimes. And it's like, it's such a, it's with anything, isn't it? Like, if you put your heart and soul into something and you put it out there and then someone goes, that's shit, it's crushing. But then it's the power's with you, the power's with your response, and the power is with what you choose to do afterwards. And whether that was like me just going, do you know what, fuck this, going upstairs, getting my bag and leaving, or going over to him and being like, right, okay, get up, I'm gonna bench what you've just benched. Do you know what I mean? Like, but that's an ego response.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, like 50% of me wanted to do that. 50% of me wanted to just like show him what's what, but it shows
a non-violent way.
Exactly. Because it doesn't solve anything at all. And it's the same with the Cali community. It's just like, you see a person doing something absolutely insane, and like, I don't know if you saw, but I uploaded the one of me and Sherman doing the flag together.
Yeah, yeah.
And someone in the background went, show off. And I'm like, all right, yeah, okay, we're kind of showing off, do you know what I mean? And like, we just both grinned at each other at that point in time, and it was just funny because I know that anyone that was there didn't mean that in malice.
It's
just like, oh, show off, come on, like, come on, go, all right, get down. Seriously now, you're taking the mic. Gravity, it's a thing, you know.
But the intention's right.
Exactly.
It's in fun, it's in jest.
And everyone has that.
It's a collected, understood, you know, kind
it's
of...
Like, come on, go. We've seen it now.
But I think something you said earlier really resonated when you said, people just don't understand sometimes. And maybe your man who made that sarky comment and the put down just didn't understand.
I don't think people do.
And I don't think, you know, I think you could say the same for anyone who does trolling online or,
yes,
you know, anyone who does that same thing.
It's fear,
in any situation. Yeah, it's a combination of fear, a combination of ego, as you say, being, but just not getting it.
Yeah. Whenever you try and start something new, like as we are with circularity, it's just, you're going to have naysayers, you're going to have people that try and tell you that it's not worth it, what you're doing isn't worthy, or making an impact or anything like that, but it hasn't stopped me yet, and I think that, like, the kids meetups just absolutely prove that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely prove that.
I mean, that was my first experience of it, to be fair, coming to see that in action and just watching the way the kids took to it was quite brilliant.
It just makes me really proud, because even though they're young and their attention span is minimal, I had so much respect, and I don't necessarily command it. I don't raise my voice or anything like that. It's just literally like, right, okay, guys, let's have some fun, and like I'll try and drop in some Fortnite references and stuff, and try and make it relatable. But then, at the end of the day, it's them that's doing the work, and they do listen. And if I tell them to split up into a group, they'll split up into a group. And like, I put an element of competition in the last one, because I wanted to sort of create an incentive, but then at the same time, just as an experiment, see if that support naturally produces itself.
Yeah,
and I think it did. I think it did, definitely. So I did a hang tough challenge for anyone that's listening. So I got the kids to sort of hang off a bar for as long as they can and try and keep the feet in front and that kind of thing. And the incentive was to give them a resistance band as a reward. So not only would they win something, but they'd win something that was conducive to training in between the meetups, so that they could work at home and do some stuff and come back and maybe show me some, like, whether it's like how strong they've got or a new skill or something. And yeah, the two at the end, they're just like glaring at each other, absolutely glaring. It was amazing to watch, because everyone just stopped and everyone was watching. Everyone's like, who's it gonna be? And you could just see it in their eyes, like they weren't giving up at all. And that in itself is phenomenal.
Yeah, like,
because they've already manifested the whole get up and try again mentality.
Yeah, the resilience aspect.
And that didn't take any sort of like me sitting them down in a circle and going, right, today, kids, we're going to talk about mindfulness, and we're going to have a really good time, okay? Like, I think part of me felt like doing that, but then I was like, do you know what? I think it'll be natural. I think it'll come naturally, given the right conditions. And it did, and it was really successful. And I went down to Shrapnel the other day, actually, and like there were some kids like training around with the parents, and I was like, yo, how about you add this Facebook group and come along?
Yeah,
and I told them all about it, and they're like, yes, awesome.
Yeah,
that'd be really cool.
Yeah. So I'd imagine there's probably some people listening to this feeling pretty curious about what it is, because part of me is sort of, if you're not initiated into this, some of the things that you're talking about, some of the things that we're referencing, people are going to go, I don't quite know what that means, you don't assign meaning to that. But I'd also imagine that the conversation maybe has got some people curious about it or finding out more. So, like, if we could talk about how they could maybe have a look online to find where you're at and the stuff that's going on, but then also how they can physically come and see the different aspects of the project that you've got going.
So you can either go to Instagram, which is @united_calisthenics, and that's just the sort of go-to page where we share videos from the meetups, but then individual successes as well within the group, and updates of the meetup dates and venues and location. Or you can go to Facebook, and there's a group page called United Kingdom Calisthenics Community, which I think we've just hit 100 members so far, so that's pretty cool. And there you'll find all sorts of stuff. So I've recently managed to organise a Breakletics trainer course. So I've got a person coming over from Germany to teach people how to teach an Adidas-sponsored sport, which is really cool. So you get all sorts of stuff like that in there. You get, obviously, people's videos from their training, meetups, workshops, all sorts. So that's a really good sort of place to get to if you wanted to, if you're not from Burton even, and you wanted to sort of see what's happening in the country with regards to calisthenics. And for the kids meetups, I've actually created a page and it's called Calisthenics Kids Squad. And there I'll post like the meetup times. It'll always be at Shobnol. So it'll be the meetup times. And then whether Paul's going to be there taking photos or not. And yeah, that's pretty much the go-to links.
Cool. Yeah. And so kind of you're building this group, you're building, you know, the next step, which is the young people sort of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And what's sort of next for you with this? Where do you want to go next?
Ooh, that is a good question. There's a load of different things that I've got on the horizon with it. Collaborations with potentially Rising Dragon School, as I mentioned. Just community growth more than anything. I think that we're still obviously in its infancy. And if we can sort of represent ourselves on a national level, because there's competitions and there's like leagues and teams and that kind of thing, and there's quite a few athletes within our group that would be really sort of successful at those competitions. But at the minute, it's just sort of my main focus is community and building it and growing it and sort of passing people to each other. Because like my workload at the moment is ridiculous, so like people are like, oh, like when are you training, like what are you doing and like asking me, but then I'll direct them over to my friends that are plenty capable of teaching people stuff and helping people out. So yeah, I mean it's sort of, I'm a very much go with the flow kind of person with this. I'm not getting too attached to any sort of goal, because I don't think there should be. I don't think there necessarily should be any finite end line for it, because it could keep going and keep going. I really hope it does. But it's sort of like, I think collaboration with different companies and that kind of thing would be really, really good. So like individually, me personally with the Calisthenics Kids stuff, it'd be really good to get Sport England involved and just try and maybe even set up more ballparks in the area and just sort of open people's eyes to that style of training.
Yeah.
I think for me that's what matters. Because obviously inactivity is a thing.
Yeah.
Poor nutrition is a thing. Obesity, type 2 diabetes.
Mental health.
Loads of different aspects that need some form of action. And I think that if you remove the barrier of cost, because that is a massive thing, especially like with the way things are going, I don't want to say the B word, but you know, like it's just uncertainty, isn't it, for everyone? So no one wants to invest in a gym membership, even if it's like 16 quid. Sometimes that's too much for people.
Yeah.
Especially if they don't know what to do with it either. Like you could end up paying for a gym membership, rocking up and being overwhelmed or confused or sort of just doing the wrong thing, which is natural. Everyone starts off that way. But if you can eliminate that need for a membership or a sign-up thing or a contract and just get people to go and play.
Intrinsically. Yeah.
Just go and play. Yeah. Just go. And if we can create these little parks, little sort of outdoor venues for these kind of things to happen, it could really take off quite easily, because all it is swinging about on bars, essentially. You reduce it to what it is, and it is just like having fun being monkeys for a bit, but burning a hell of a lot of calories and sweating and working hard, but you don't feel that. I don't know if you noticed anyone on the day, like, did anyone seem exhausted?
No.
We were. our bodies were screaming at us, but you just overcome that because you're having so much fun with each other. And I think that's the thing. Like I said about the gym, monotony and counting reps and that kind of thing, that element just gets dissolved entirely, because you're sort of reciprocating the process. You're watching someone try something and you're like, oh, I'll give a go at that. And it's like friendly competition. It's not, look at the size of me because I can adventure house. Do you know what I mean? It's like, look at this cool thing I've learned. Do you want me to show you how to do it?
Yeah.
And that's like, what? It's such a simple idea.
Yeah.
But some people don't understand it, and I don't get why.
Mm.
It feels like value,
mm.
I think, is a massive thing. Like, in order to do something, you need something in return. Which is like, it works to some degree, but like, in terms of actual altruism, that's questionable in itself, but as close as you can get to true altruism, it's sort of helping people, but without the need for that reward.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when people have trained with me, for example, afterwards, like, they'll text me like, oh, that was amazing today, thank you so much, and I'm just there like melting inside, feeling really great. But like, I haven't done it for that.
Yeah.
I haven't done it for that at all. Like, if it's going to help them out, and they're going to have like a new thing to post on their Instagram, or like a new thing to keep training at and getting better at, then fantastic. Because as you said, like, mental health is a massive, massive thing, and calisthenics for me pulled me out of a very dark place.
Mm.
And as I've said, with the aspect of like humility and resilience, it kind of forced me to get better.
Mm.
It was really weird. And like, I hope I never return to that kind of like mindset and emotional feeling, because it wasn't conducive, it wasn't like productive, it was very destructive and enveloping.
Mm.
Whereas this whole calisthenics community thing is the flip of that. It's like, right, I'm going to organise this thing and I want loads of people to turn up, but I'm not going to get attached to the idea, just whoever turns up can. And I want everyone to have fun.
Mm.
And that's it. That's like the bare bones of it. I want everyone to have fun.
Mm.
And that in itself is like really rewarding, especially like when you have people that have never been to any before and they're like, whoa, this is really cool, like, look at that guy, what's he doing over there? And I was like, do you want me to go and introduce you? And it's like that, it's that weird thing of when you see someone doing something awesome, like, for example, rock stars, or do you know what I mean, you've got a muse, you've got something that you've put on a pedestal. So like, for example, if you're just starting out in calisthenics, or you're just at the gym and you just want to get into it, and you see someone doing like a one arm back lever, like the sort of instinct there is to sort of separate yourself from that person, in terms of value, which is a really weird thing. It's such a strange thing, because we're all human, we're all the same. And I think that that's what the meetups embody, is that everyone is on a level.
Yeah.
With something. There's going to be things that people are amazing at, but absolutely terrible at in other things, and people that are the opposite of that. You've got people that are good across the board, but not spectacular at any particular thing. And we're sort of there to sort of bridge those gaps and fill those
you've gaps. Got that diversity of skill, but everyone comes together to almost not balance it out, because that's not what it's about, but that idea of everyone has respect for the different parts of other people's abilities.
Massively.
It's funny you said about the thing about watching a rock star, or watching, like, I do the thing where you're watching online and someone, you know, who isn't a famous person, is doing something extraordinary, you know, like with a guitar or with a vocal, or and my first thing is to share it, you know. Some people immediately would go to the, oh, let's find a fault in that and troll it, because that's upsetting my sense of self-esteem.
Yeah, which is strange.
But my first instinct is to show everyone else how cool that is, and, you know, look at that, because it's just ace. There's nothing, you know, watch the ace thing. and that's very much the vibe I get from the things that you're talking about, in exactly the same way. No one's going, you know, it's not that weird ego-based problem, or, you know, trolling someone, or, you know, that kind of different thing. There's always that support and that, just look at this because it's cool, you know.
Exactly. And then, like, you find, for example, as I said, with me and Sherman, when we did the flag together, it was like, can you do that thing? I can do that thing. Can we do it at the same time? And it's just like, it then creates a spectacle. And I think, as you pointed out earlier, the videos and the capturing and the narrative, it creates that that moment. However, like, even if we were holding it for like 10 seconds, that freeze frame that gets reposted and that kind of thing, it's just phenomenal, like the potential with it. And I've recently shared the group photos, so like they're probably the only things that are actually choreographed with anything.
Yeah.
It's like, right guys, come on then, let's show everyone together. And that's just like, that's like 2 minutes at the end of the day. And that's, yeah, like you say, it's probably the most choreographed aspect of the whole thing. But yeah, if someone like can do something, or another person could do something that would look cool with it, and that kind of thing, then yeah, we just freestyle it like that.
Yeah,
just go with that.
Just one last thing before we finish. You know, we spoke about where they could find the different bits and bobs, you know, but also where the events are and how that all works and how you set them up and how you publicise those. But can people just kind of turn up and watch? Because I can imagine people listening and going, oh, I'm not that, I can't do that, but I quite like to go and see it, you know.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
I like to go and have a look at it happening. You know, is that a possibility for, particularly for Shobnal, you know?
100%. There's like benches, there's areas you can stand around, you could bring a deck chair if you wanted. Just do what you want. Because I think that, as I've said, with it being a spectacle and being captured and that kind of thing, to see it live, it's just something else entirely. You get the energy, you get that sort of interaction, the community aspect of it and everything. So yeah, you're more than welcome to just come along and watch, because it might even motivate you to get up out of that chair and jump over on the bars. You never know. It's just one of those things that just sucks you in.
So I really hope you enjoyed that, Ben was saying, and the little snippets of the story on the day that we captured from our experience of calisthenics. And actually, there's a couple of us, myself and Paul Ainger, who you heard speak, and who Ben referenced, who had a go as well, and there's some photos online of us trying it out. It's really hard, but it's something that, as he said to me, like, you know, something plants a little seed in you and you want to try and do a little bit more and do a little bit more. So hopefully going to have a crack at it. Wanted to dig into what Paul Ainger was doing with Tim West and with a few other guys with the 45 Degrees West project that they're doing. And it's fascinating. I mean, you know, where the ideas come from and how it builds, it's just that classic thing where some guys sit and have an idea and they run with it and it turns into something that changes lives for people, you know? So, like, you'll hear Tim West and Paul Ainger talk about that project a little bit and kind of how it resonates with Circularity a little bit as well. And then there was a chat that me and Rob had with Paul Ainger for you to listen to, so it's pretty cool. Hope you enjoy it.
Well, we'll link into Circularity, as we've been talking about a bit ago, and the idea of bringing people together and building something bigger than the sum of its parts. Paul and I developed 45 Degrees West about 5 years ago. Where we walked from John O'Groats to Land's End, and the idea behind it is that we're the kind of the fulcrum of it. So we walk, and we want people to come and join us, and then by doing that, they get out, they get a walk, but also we gain more sponsorship. So it's kind of a sponsorship project. We always pick a different project to raise money for something that's a worthy cause. And so we walked for a hospice about 5 years ago, and we're doing it a similar thing soon in the next couple of months. In 3 weeks' time. What the hell am I talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
And the idea behind 45 Degrees West is that we walk, people come and join us, and the more people that come and join us, the more sponsorship we gain. And so in 3 weeks' time, we're walking 7 different national parks in 7 days to raise £7,000 for a local stroke ward in Burton Hospital. And that's the idea. And very much like Circularity, the idea is bringing people together, because we live in a disparate, individualised world. And we're better when we do stuff together, without sounding like old Jeremy Corbyn, but it is. It's like, let's get involved, you know. There's a lot of separation going on, and I think the idea is bring people together, do something physical, get out, see the country that you love, do something positive, raise a bit of money for charity. Don't sit on your fat ass eating biscuits.
Well,
oh, and that as well.
Do that after. When you've done the stuff.
It's part of my training regime, that is.
So how do people get involved in it?
Well, there's a Facebook page and there's a Twitter page, but it's 45 Degrees West. A lot of the information is actually just on the Just Giving page, which is justgiving.com/45degrees West.
What do you hope will happen with the money that you raise? What's the idea behind it? I know it's for the stroke war, but well, it's specific.
The idea is to raise cash for something pretty much kind of specialised. So if they want to, I think they've earmarked either a bit of apparatus or equipment that they want to, you know, rather than kind of give it to a charity and then it gets swallowed up into printer paper, be good to give it, you know, to make sure that it's, you know, they really have an idea of what they want to spend the money on. So yeah. I think they've got a few ideas of what they want to spend the money on in the ward itself or whatever. So, you know, rather than kind of, like say, give a big wad of cash and then, you know, never really see where it goes, sort of thing, you know. But I think, I think they're grateful of anything. I was speaking to them yesterday and they gave me their sort of their accounts and the little bits of bobs of, like, you know, sort of how they raise the cash. It's, you know, it all adds up to you know a real, you know, sort of positive amount, you know what I mean? So
brilliant.
I think anything that we can raise is a bonus.
It's funny where these things come from, because just having, obviously just off air, but previously when we were talking about bringing people together, about 6 years ago, Paul and I were about as low as it could be, recently single, bored, and we both had this craving of, let's do something positive. And it wasn't positive in an egotistical way, so it wasn't like, let's be amazing. It was positive in terms of bring people together, do something positive, physically active, raise some money for charity, and do it in a way that where we bring people together. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to just something where we go, right, I'm going to go and run a marathon, I'll do my thing. But it's, a marathon's 20,000 people all running individually. This was a thing where you all come together and do something positively.
Building the me to we mindset that we talk about.
Yeah.
Taking that and going, I could do something on my own, but it's better if I do something with people.
Yeah.
Bring
them
on the same journey.
And you're sharing the experience, and it's kind of mutually beneficial. It just infects you without you. You know what I mean?
Which on a bit of a meta level, it's kind of like what's happening today, isn't it? These guys have all come together to do, you know, to do this together as a we. You know, isn't it?
Yeah, you've seen it already. There's people been sat about in the park. There was a kid earlier watching them do it, and then started trying doing the calisthenics stuff.
Yeah.
And you could see we watched them try and do the hold it behind him, plank it type thing, and he started trying to do it. Yeah. And just
your people become the lingo already.
Yeah, I know. No, all the swell words.
Calisthotics.
What?
Yeah.
Calisthotics.
Oh yeah, man, you woke. Just to try and sound high-minded, because I'm a bellend, but there's a book at the moment. This is a sweary podcast.
It is now.
There we go. Bellend isn't bad.
We'll take the E-word.
Reading a book called Sapiens, and in the opening chapters of that, it talks about how the human animal became sociable. And I think that we are craving that these days. Sorry to try and make this profound, but I think this informs everything that we're talking about, I think, which is the idea of not sitting on our asses watching Instagram all the time going, oh, look, a manny, a sandwich. What it is about stunning in a field like this and watching a load of buff dudes do some colocotics.
Where did the name 45 Degrees West come from?
Okay, right. I do a bit of photography now and again. And basically, you know.
Oh, mate, you undersold that.
Yeah, well,
you're an incredible photographer.
It's not about me. So basically, you know, when you kind of like you go around towns and cities and you're a tourist and you're taking photos of these amazing cathedrals and you know, all these architecture, whatever. Well, I just got a bit bored with this. It was about 8-9 years ago. And Tim and I were, I think we were in Bath, I think we were at the time. And I said to him, I said, mate, let's just kind of just do this for me, right? I said, just in that doorway down there, can you lean at about 45 degrees west with your head in that doorway of that cathedral? I'm going to sit, and you'll be just in the corner. It's not going to be close up. So I stood back and took a photo, and everybody look at the picture. But for about 2 minutes, I'll go, oh, it's a nice picture. And then they'll go, what the hell's that guy? So basically, from then, we walked around, you know, sort of various towns and cities, and Tim had leaned at 45 degrees west, putting his neck and his forehead at risk. And we just kind of, and his surname's West, so we kind of like, you know, it just what we're going to do is do Tim doing a 45 degree angle all the way down from John O'Groats to Land's End, and then we thought, that's a bit silly. That's a bit daft, that is. So, yeah, So we didn't. No, but the name stuck, and we just thought 45 degrees. In a way, we were walking John O'Groats to Land's End. It's kind of a 45 degree-ish angle, but we just thought, yeah, it looks good. It's a bit recognisable, and the story's a bit daft and silly, and you know, whatever. Just a bit of fun, really. Maybe we'll incorporate that. I mean, talking to Ben, bless him, you know, he's we could. God, those guys do wonderful things at 45 degrees, don't they? So we can, who knows? Who knows, mate? Yeah, yeah.
Just remind me, how long is it you've been doing the walks between the two of you?
Basically, it started just about 7 years ago. We both kind of like were going through a bit of a crappy time with our lives. Nothing major, you know, sort of. But it was just, we both ended relationships, feeling a bit low, early midlife crisis scenario. It was either buy a crappy red sports car or do something for charity. So
start a podcast.
So yeah, exactly. So So yes, yeah, so that's what we decided to do. We wanted to, you know, to put something back into society. We were very kind of blessed with great upbringings and a lot of love from family and friends. And we thought we kind of like repay in some kind of way and just help community, you know, the towns and villages that we lived in and whatever, and the people that have helped us and whatever, you know, just put something back. And so yeah, 7 years ago we did the John O'Groats to Land's End walk and raising some funds for St. Giles Hospice. So yeah, and we basically started training again when we kind of talked to Dave and agreed about doing another walk. It was I would say probably about September last year, I think it was. Because we've had a bit more insight of how we did it last time, we had a little bit more kind of pre-knowledge of how to organise ourselves and train. So so although it's not been easier, it's been easier to organise. You know what I mean? The physical aspect has just been the same. It, you know, it's still grafting and walking lots of miles. The organising, it's been a bit better. It's been more streamlined. I think we were a bit naive last time and probably wasted a bit too much time and probably money as well, and we feel that we've kind of profited a bit better for the charity, you know what I mean? We did an Elvis charity fundraiser with a guy from Stoke, amazing, a great guy, great personality, and we got, I think, Tim's sister, Hannah. She was amazing at organising most of the evening. And just little bits and bobs. We had a kind of like a charity kind of, we had a raffle going on and loads of fantastic gifts. And we raised, I think, nearly £2,000 on the night. Mm. Before, we had a Burns night and we spent quite a lot of money. We hired kilts to wear ourselves, and we were a little bit more kind of really trying to create you know, a real kind of energy around it and sort of make it fun. And so we spent, you know, lots of money organise it. We made some profit, but not as much as, you know, we did this time, because we knew the outlay. You've got to be a bit more savvy, and that really helped. So
well, you've got to try something, haven't you? I mean,
yeah, exactly. And make it fun. You know, we've got to, you're asking people to put hands in their pockets, and you've got to give something back and make them feel like they've got something for it, kind of thing. You know, even though it's a good thing that they're doing in the first place, but they've got to enjoy it. They've got to have fun. This is what we're all about. Is, you know, it's not just kind of swimming the shark tank and, you know, risking your life and limb. It's enjoying yourself along the way, and helping people isn't just kind of, you know, an arduous task. It can be a joyful, happy kind of thing as well. You know what I mean? You've got to enjoy it, you know. It
shouldn't be a penance.
Exactly. You want them to do it, yeah. So. Yeah, true. Yeah, absolutely.
That's great.
And it's been inspiring. That's the thing, isn't it?
You know? Oh, it is. Yeah. When you see, as Chris mentioned, seeing your post, but seeing that the event that you put on and the effort that evidently went into that, and the fact that people put their hand in the pockets. And you, as you said to us before, you're trying to raise the 7,000 over the 7 days for the walk.
Yeah.
That's a big chunk of that.
Yeah.
Straight there into a well-organised event.
Amazing, yeah.
Where you've learned from the last time, as you say. It's an iterative process.
Yeah. I always say that I think I sort of echoed and repeated myself along the time when we were putting posts up on Facebook and the last walk we did. It just reinstalls my faith in humanity and all the people involved, because you kind of, you know, recently and well, probably sort of always, you kind of now and again you'll get knocked back and you think, you know, crikey, it really gives you a hit in the gut, and you think, you know, you just lose faith, you really do. Yeah. And things like this bolsters and you know what I mean, it you know, sort of reconfirms that there's some good folk out there, you know what I mean. Mm. And it's great to be part of that, you know what I mean, and witness it and feel it. It's,
I think the other thing is that you're doing real stuff.
Yeah.
As well, you're not just doing something that exists, like, you know, the latest kind of thing about, and, you know, I'm not, by the way, I'm not really calling this, but I just think as an alternative to what you're doing, it's a different sort of approach. But, like, you have your birthday, Facebook crops up with a, do you want to raise money for a charity for your birthday?
Yeah.
And then everyone chips 10 quid in, and then, yeah, it's raise money for charity, great. But actually what you're providing is something that's really experiential and
yeah.
a real event. You're doing real stuff.
Yeah.
That, you know, and I sometimes wonder with your just give-ins and your donate buttons and all that sort of stuff, along the way, has something been lost, which is a chance for people to connect for charity, not just to, you know, click a button.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think... Yeah, I think that the physical aspect is a very important aspect of it, and like you just said, it's numbed it, that the Facebook, you know, the birthday charity kind of thing, it's kind of numbs it and makes it all very kind of flippant.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just bung a tenner, anybody can press a button and you know, give a tenner. But as we're trying to do is involve people along the walk as well, so they can come along and individually get sponsored as well, so they feel like they're part of something themselves, you know what I mean, so we can share our experience and they can then in turn share their experience with other people and you know, get that thing,
you don't know what spark off that might, you know, inspire someone to do their own thing, and
that'd be wonderful. Yeah,
so training so far, I mean, you've done the big John O'Groats to Land's End.
Yeah.
How long did that take you, by the way?
45 days, I think. I think we planned 47, and weirdly, we kind of like sacrificed a couple of rest days because they hurt. Mm. You know, you stop walking and your body kind of starts to kind of like mend itself, and it hurts, it cramps up. So we thought, this is mad. It doesn't make any sense. Rest day should be a, you know, a lovely kind of, you know, relaxing, chill out kind of like, you know. But it wasn't. It was hard, so we did it in 45 instead. Which it wasn't. We weren't trying to be heroes. We were just kind of. We didn't want to hurt anymore. We just want to get over and done with.
So that was 45 continuous days. Because in my head, I'm going, right. So you took a month and a half off to go and do that, or walked like 300 miles, then went back and did a few days.
No, it was. So we were both self-employed, and so we had to kind of like you know, sort of save up to cover, you know, we both have mortgages and businesses to run as well while we're away. So it was a big thing. So this time, Tim, Blessing, is going to be a father soon. So, and, you know, recently got married and whatever. So we've all got kind of more commitments, and we thought we can't. Well, you can, but it's really, really hard work. And there's other people that, you know, that are involved now. So a week is kind of a holiday time that you can have off, isn't it? You know, a week is acceptable. So, so we had to do something a bit shorter. And we were just thinking, how can you top that? I have to do it kind of naked and walking over broken glass, or, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's going to be a
walk around.
It's an occupation, you know what I mean? To do anything bigger than that, it's a real, you know, time gobbler.
Yeah, So this time round, what have you done so far in your training then? How has your training worked out this time?
So we started off and you kind of like work your a day's walk, starting off probably about 10 miles. We've always kind of walked, you know, a nice leisurely casual walk on a Sunday or whatever, and ended up in a pub somewhere and, you know, had a few pints and a full Sunday lunch. But this time you've got to take it a bit more seriously, obviously. But so working it up gradually, starts with a 10, works up to a 15, and then you have to do your back-to-back walk. So your Sunday, luckily we've got Mondays off as well, so we could do a Sunday then a Monday.
Mm.
But there's also, there might be kind of walking on pavements, there might be undulating kind of countryside kind of walks and steep hills and whatever. So you've got to make sure that your body is comfortable with all terrains, you know, because not all of it's going to be off-road. Some of it might be flatter and, you know, tarmac or whatever. And it affects your body in different ways. You know, your feet can take a pounding on tarmac, the rest of your body, you know, might take a more kind of pound in, you know, with the country kind of hills and mountainous kind of like terrain. But
training's key there.
Absolutely, it is, and it always amazes me is the way that your body recovers. For me, that's just as important. Waking up and thinking, because at the end of the day, you don't want to walk another meter. It kills. It really does. So to get up the next morning and have your body, you know, get the team of, you know, healers out, like, it's just a miracle thing, our bodies are. I have so much respect. And waking up, feel a little bit stiff, but you're okay to walk another 20 miles. That's just crazy. It really is crazy. But it's also kind of, you know, making sure you drink enough water and eating the right kind of foods and that kind of thing as well. But your body is it's a clever, clever machine. Mm. It really is, yeah. Mm.
So you've done so training's underway. Yep. The first walk, because we're organised now, we plan things.
Yeah.
And so we're recording this ahead of your first walk with the hope to release it on the first day of your walk. So seven walks in 7 days. Where is the first one and what day is it?
Right, the first one is this Sunday. And it's basically it's the west coastal path of Bangor to Conwy. It's roughly about, I think it's about 21, 22 miles. We've got it's different this time, where before we'd walk from location to location. So support was people that just came up and wanted to walk a bit and whatever. But this time we've got a vehicle, a guy who is going to drive us, Joe Gillam. He's going to drive us at the end of each walk to the next location, youth hostel, B&B, wherever we're going to stay. And then get up in the morning, walk that walk. At the end of the day, he's going to drive to the end of that walk, pick us up, take us to the next national park and do it like that. That's how it's going to work. So we'll be still carrying gear with us, but some of our gear is going to be in the backup truck as well. So
that's a good way to do it. I've got a friend who does a charity set of walks every year, and that every time they do it, they ask for people, because they do distance walking, so they're constantly going forwards. So they ask for people to take their gear from one place to another, and then organise hotels to stay at in between.
Yeah.
So yeah. Good type of
it. It is. I can remember the last walk we did. One of the stops was in Abingdon, in the middle of this kind of open countryside, and it was just a service station where cars, where you just stop and have your, you know, £10 sandwich and greasy bacon sandwich or whatever. And we stopped over, and the woman behind the counter, we turned up smelly, hairy, just knackered. And bless her, we told her what we were doing, and she gave us a food voucher for the cafe, washing tablets for our food. And then the best thing was, she said that her husband worked for FedEx. He's going to take our rucksacks to the next location, so we just have to carry kind of like we got smaller rucksacks, enough for water and a few supplies. And then it just got better and better. Her son also worked for FedEx, and he would take our rucksacks to the next location. So we got 2 days without carrying our, 25 kilo backpacks, and it was just heaven. It's like walking on air. And again, but that was the whole kind of stating your faith in humanity. Mm. She wasn't an owner of a B&B or whatever. She was a woman that worked behind the reception, who just recognised another human being, and thought, right, let's help these guys. Such a simple gesture, you know what I mean? Such a simple thing, but it meant the world for us, it's just wonderful.
How can people keep up with your journey, on your way through the different walks? Are you going to keep people up to date?
The thing that we did last time was just a diary, and I bought a little kind of super duper gimbal kind of camera thing that I'm going to try and sort of do a video diary if I can remember and can be bothered at the end of the day. We'll be writing, we're writing a diary every day on Facebook, of updates and whatever. So I quite enjoy doing that. It's quite good fun, and it just kind of keeps our connection, with the public and the supporters and the sponsors and whatever. Because they're interested, because they want to know what we're doing and how we're getting on as well. And friends and family know that we're safe and sound, happy, and fed and warm and all that. So yeah.
And
so,
anyone who's like listening into this and wants to find it, they just search for
45 degrees west on Facebook. We are on Twitter as well. Not as I will be sort of spending a bit more time on Twitter, but yeah, it's more or less on Facebook,
yeah.
really.
Yeah.
And the Just Giving page, there is details of the walk on the Just Giving page as well, but it's all the details are on the Facebook page as well.
Yeah.
Should we do some Facebook live videos as you go walk?
Yes, I shall try my best. Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Just thinking about, you know, how people can kind of get involved and help. You've obviously mentioned the donating side of things, which is wonderful, and they're getting involved in that way. Are there other ways that people can get involved with the
Can they turn
project?
Up on the day for the walks that are there along with you?
Yeah, basically there's quite a few people joining us on various parts of the walk as well, which is fantastic. On the last day, which is the 27th, and we're walking from Yulgreave to Ashbourne. It's an 18-mile walk, but what we're doing, we've organised a bus, and which is going to be taking people, if they can make their way to Ashbourne, Waitrose, around 8:30 on the Sunday morning of the 27th. That bus will take you then to Yulgreave, the start of the final walk, and then we'll basically just walk back to Ashbourne, where Danny from 99 Station Street, who's an amazing chef, he's putting on a little bit of grub for us, which I'm really looking forward to. And there's a place called Maison de Bière, which is just down the road from where Tim lives in Ashbourne, and they'll be opening the doors up for us. A few celebratory wholesome beers and what have you. So yeah, that'd be great. So if people can join us again along the path, they don't have to do the entire walk with us, but it's there's people's kind of presence is such a massive crutch, on the last day. It really is, just lifts your spiritual, spiritually, and it'd be very welcome.
So yeah, kind of really hoping everyone gets behind these guys, both Ben with his calisthenics and then also Paul and Tim with the 45 Degrees West project. It's brilliant stuff that's going on, and there'll be future podcasts in this season where we talk about all the different cool things that are going on in the local area and people that are making change locally but also further afield. So enjoy.